The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Centre Parks. Spot rare wildlife, explore the forest, and have endless adventures together. The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Centre Parks. With 150 indoor, outdoor, and water sport activities, there's something for everyone.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tubridy with you. It is Thursday morning now. It's the 15th of June, 2023. You're halfway there already. Crikey. And we are here till 10 o'clock. Text number is 51551. The time is 9:05. And the email address is ryan@rte.ie. It is yet again another beautiful morning out there. So let us lap it up. Because soon enough, it'll be dark and wild and windy and wet and cruel. And no, in other words, live, breathe, enjoy. Live for the moment. The New York Post is trying to sort of drive a wedge, a generational wedge between Gen Z, that's people pretty much under 25, and us, that is to say ancient people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s and beyond. Boomers-ish. I'm being rough around the edges here around this, but boomers. And according to the young people who, as you know, I love and respect, so I'm not going to go with the wedge driving. But the younger people are saying that boomers like me are, and us, I'm going to say us, are far too liberal when using the reply all button. This is in the workplace, that we tend to reply all in the emails. Young people are much more personal with their approach to work and don't like business broadcast to the entire company. Fair enough. They're also completely fed up with unnecessary phone calls from old people like us. They don't think they're important. The boomers must have missed the memo, they say, that young people don't actually talk on the phone. And clearly Gen Zers or Zers don't realise how much boomers value a chat over a cold email. Boomers tend to eat up your time, they say, with questions they could answer themselves via the internet. Asking technology questions they could easily Google. But we like to talk. We like the humanity of it. Oh no, there's like a digital native versus humanity native divide growing. One young one said, I'm frustrated by their outdated outlook on work KPIs. They count minutes instead of outcomes as a measure of productivity. That's true. And they're sick of our outdated language that some are still spewing into office culture. Passive aggressive. All right, love. You know what, darling? Are people still doing that? No, you'd be the two most important letters. You know, this office place was brought to you by the letters H and R. You know, it's like Sesame Street for 2023. The damage that we older ones are doing to the environment. Why do we have to print everything? What are you talking about? Oh no, guilty as charged. We have an obsession with promotions, which is tedious. We're power hungry, apparently. And we need to make everything official. Why does everything have to be a formal meeting, they say? We boomers love creating stale environments. What else? Crikey. Then the young people are sick of our inability to respect people's time, about how we ring mobiles with no regard for their calendar. Like, I'm in meetings all day. You don't get to skip the queue, they say. The use of calls because it's easier to explain over the phone, quote unquote. No, you're just too lazy to type it out. So now I have to dictate the request and then there's no paper trail. If there's an error, they can blame you. Oof, this is getting very angry. We have an obsession with job titles and hierarchy. It's so embarrassing with such a social construct. And we have to stop obsessing over office presence. Ah, the old WFH issue. The working from home. Or the LFH, laundry from home. No, stop it. Everyone's working hard at home, as we know. And they're not in the gardens with laptops. Why wouldn't you? If it gets you through the day and you're still getting the work done, no time, no point in complaining. Okay, that's the little wedge that's going. I don't think that's going to be a massive issue, do you? Although there is, if we look at India, the civil service in India is encouraging staff to incorporate a Y break into their day. So you can have a yoga break in a given day and just sit at your desk. Desk yoga to de-stress and refresh and refocus. It might be distracting if somebody's sitting across from you, then but the person who used to be sitting across from you could be working from home, so it mightn't be an issue. But mostly it's sitting or standing stretches, twists and breathing exercises.
not one-legged planks. And but one of the breathing exercises does involve making a steady sound, which is fine, but probably potentially a little irritating. And you can buy under-the-desk bikes, by the way, and treadmills and elliptical trainers. That's pretty much what all my guys upstairs have. They all have trainers and under-the-desk bikes. That's why they're making those strange movements. At least I hope that's why. Okay, so Colin Farrell, meanwhile, is in the news, largely because the jumper he wore, the sweater he wore in the Banshees of Inisherin, has become a must-have in certain fashion circles. What they've done is, a knitwear brand in Galway, which has a great reputation for knitwear, let's face it, in Galway, is painstakingly recreating Colin Farrell's jumper and offering a new line based on it for sale. So they've got the costume designer from Banshees, Eimear Ní Uaill Downing, and she has linked up with the Tweed Project, which is fronted by Triona Lillis and Eveen McNamara, for a new line of Irish jumpers inspired by the film. So the jumper's called The Colin, and The Colin is 100% soft wool jumper in four colours. The front panel, designed by Eimear, is based on a traditional fisherman style, as you can expect. And the unique collar, sleeves and back are all knit in a stocking stitch, with the front also incorporating panels of moss stitch and cross and diamond motifs. I have no idea what I'm saying, but I'm just reading it, and that's what it is. This jumper will be hand-knitted for you. Cost, €790. That's not a jumper, that's an event. That's $900 if you're in America. But it'll last. Any Aran jumper I've ever... Well, it's a form of Aran jumper. Any Aran jumper I've ever bought or owned has... I still have. They last forever. It won't fall apart at the seams. You will not need a patch. And they will keep you warm on those dark days. So, if you want The Colin, you can get one now. That's the story. The Tweed Project. That's where you'll get it. Now, Disney have been reimagining all these films, but with humans. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So The Little Mermaid is apparently very good. I haven't seen it yet. I saw The Jungle Book, which I quite liked. The Lion King. I think I prefer the cartoons. But cartoons have moved on so much after my Spider-Man experience on Sunday, which I realise it's cartoons just not what they used to be. This hand-drawn way that we used to watch cartoons as kids. So Disney have decided, let's do that live-action remake with... And this is kind of dodgy in the sense that I don't know how they're going to do it. Bambi, 1942. I mentioned Bambi in the office place today. And honestly, three of them left the building to get counselling straight away because they have PTSD from watching Bambi. And I'm joking, obviously, but they have PTSD from watching Bambi because of what happens to Bambi's mother at the end of the film. Now, spoiler alert, if you don't know at this point what happened to Bambi's mother because you haven't seen the film since 1942 or ever, well then, I'm going to ruin it for you. So I'm giving you a second to turn around or switch around or turn off for a second because we're going to go full spoiler alert here because we have to. And now you're back. So those of you who are sticking with us right are still here. Okay, so what happened? Bambi, as it says here in this report, through gorgeous animation, the original chronicles the adventures of the titular young deer and his woodland friends, a rabbit, of course, Thumper, a skunk named Flower, and it's all going great. It's a coming-of-age story, that's the point. And they didn't hide behind the bushes in telling the story. Well, somebody did hide behind the bushes so they could get a good shot, but they didn't hide from the truth for young people to say, it's not that simple, kids. Your folks are going to die. What? And now, meanwhile, backs of cars all around the country are going, you're going to die. I'm talking about a movie. Now I have to be careful. Now I'm telling myself I'm nuts. This is a disaster. I'm trying to talk about Bambi from 1942. And now I realise I'm being utterly insane. Oh, come on. They're making a meal. I'm making a meal of it. They're making a movie of it. Okay, that's what's happening here. Bambi. Now I'll stop talking. Let's go there. Let's go. Let's go and hunt Bambi's mother together.
Quick, the thicket. Faster, faster, Bambi! Don't look back. Keep running. Keep running.
We made it.
Okay, steady. But that's what it is. That's Bambi. They're going to remake that as a kids' movie. How are they going to do that? as the harrowing death of Bambi's mother will be even more realistic, ready to scar more children and more generations for life. I mean, I was thinking, what is it about kids' movies back in the day? Back in the 70s, we had the little single, the 45, vinyl of this song by Art Garfunkel. So I'd like to watch the film. Watership Down, not a good idea. Not a good idea at all, because, of course, it's the rabbits, it's the motorway, it's the defumigation, it's just... Bright eyes, burning like fire. Bright eyes, how can you close and fail? How can the light that burns so brightly suddenly burn so so brightly suddenly burn so pale? I was kind of going, it's a cartoon, it's going to be lovely. No, death. I just want to watch a cartoon. Like, it's like the Marvels, they stopped having fun. Like, you know, the Incredible Hulk was suddenly turned into like a psychological profile of what happened to him as a child. They stopped being just, you know, Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno, and you know, it's now like the Hulk kind of having, if you're drinking too heavily, you know, that's like, I don't want to be green. I was like, just be green and be the Hulk. It's just a bit of fantasy. Alas, no. I mean, the rot started for this generation with Up. I can't watch Up. I'm a wreck. Up is too sad. Just make fun stuff that we can enjoy. Okay. Why are there so many orphans in kids' stories, from Bambi to Harry Potter to Bernadette? I don't know. I'm out of my bike training for the coast to Curra, and now I'm crying. Thanks, Ryan. I've never seen Bambi, but Janie, that's a lot for a Thursday morning. Yeah, I thought even the sound of the gun exploding, I just thought that's dark. Ryan, make it stop. I'm in my 50s and bawling here, listening to poor wee Bambi, and then Bright Eyes, unnecessarily cruel. No, Breed, this is life and death. This is what it is. Now, we could do Pollyanna if you want, but every now and again, we've got to turn the page and read the truth. We can turn the page again. I'm going to turn it in a second. Everyone's telling me I'm not a boomer. I'm a Generation X. Oh, that's good. Just not 20 years off myself. Thanks, everyone. That's fine. So boomer is Bill Clinton and Al Gore. They were all born after World War II. They were the boomer generations. Then I'm Generation X, which is like Train Spotting and Blur and Oasis type of stuff. And then you're into the other. So it goes on and on. It's kind of a little bit boring, but you get the, it falls in. Google it. Isn't that what the Gen Z are telling us to do? Google it. This is hilarious. My date of birth is 1978. I identify. I'm booming my way into Thursday. Okay, thanks for all of that. And happier news. John Williams, the composer who gave us all this magnificent music, was at the US premiere of Indiana Jones 5. This is a great, great time for older people when you think of Harrison Ford is at 80. I think Donald Trump's 77 today, by the way, for the Trumpers out there and Yazar out there, in fairness. But he's 77 today. I think it's his birthday today or yesterday. Either way, 77 this week. John Williams is 91. And Steven Spielberg was at the opening of this film. And he said to the audience, I've got a little surprise for you. And the curtain drew back and there was John Williams. And didn't he only go and conduct some of the music from Indiana Jones? So let's park Bambi Gate and get into this live clip from what happened. So much fun. I get quite mixed up. I'm hoping to go and see this weekend at the National Concert Hall, Superman on the big screen, symphony orchestra playing underneath live to the big screen. I've never seen that before. I went to see the Looney Tunes. They did that in the concert hall years ago and it was just magnificent. But I've never done the whole film. So I'm excited about that. It's on this Friday and Saturday, actually. And I think it's going to be gorgeous, because that, to see that music and the drums and the violins and the brass all working away to the screen, it's intriguing. They're suggesting in Sweden that they got this bump in the national inflation figures, And they're trying to figure it out. How come all these restaurants and hotels and transport, everything seems to be just prices high? Beyonce. Beyonce came to town and such was the demand, was so immense that the national economy shuddered under the weight of expectation. Imagine that. There was Sweden reporting a higher than expected inflation of 9.7% last month. Amazing. One of the economists there said that Beyonce helped drive the jump in hotel rates and maybe have been the force behind the unexpectedly strong uptick in recreation and cultural prices. Amazing. At least one estimate suggests that Beyonce's tour could gross almost £2 billion in this report from the BBC by the time it ends in September. Oh, she is quite the phenomenon. If you're on a street called St. George's Avenue in Drumcondra in Dublin this week, you might notice they're filming stuff. And I'm reading here that they're filming Jamie Dornan for another season of The Tourist, which is set in the Australian outback. So it must be a flashback. Yeah, pre-Australian, pre-Oz. And that's kind of exciting. They filmed The Land of Saints and Sinners there as well, which is set to be released later this year. So great to see them filming around the place. New Love Island bombshell confirmed. He plays goalkeeper for League of Ireland team Shelburne FC, joining the island. Well, that's a leap, is it not? Name, Scott van der Sluis. Am I saying that correctly? I hope so. They reckon I am. And he is going in. Born in Wales, brought up by his Dutch mother, explaining his last name. He's a younger brother of former professional footballer Jamie Reid. He's 6'2", played a youth career at Man United, I should say, Liverpool and Swansea City. And he now joins Catherine Agbaje as the Irish on the island. So good luck to him. Have fun. Apparently it's great fun. I'm at a petrol station, says Eric Henley Flanagan. So good they named her three times. In a petrol station, and the Cliff from Bambi is playing. I heard gasps and gulps from the customers of a certain vintage. PTSD has kicked in. Oof. Yeah, well, do you know what? It's if you're saying, why did you do that? So it's a clip from a children's film in 1942. But when you think of it, the darkness of what was happening in the world in 1942, where it was like in the middle of World War II, there must have been something on the minds of the filmmakers where they're going, it's dark, we're dark, times are dark, just shoot everything. I mean, film everything, but shoot everything as well, unfortunately. Let's not forget Dumbo's mother, yeah, being taken away. That was, oh yeah, I'm still scarred by that. Bad things do happen. Maybe it's important for children to realise that. Maybe children are a little over. Now we're down into another rabbit hole altogether. Let's just keep going. I very briefly on one of my favourite quiz shows on TV is called Only Connect. It's on during the autumn winter on BBC. It's presented by Victoria Coren Mitchell. I just love it. It's about 22, 23 minutes short and it's really hard and I'm not that good at it, but I love trying to play it. And part of it, those of you who know, there's a thing called the wall at the end, and the wall is a grid essentially. And you've got to form four sets. It's got four sets of four words in a total of 16 boxes. And you have to try and make the connection, four rows of connection. I tried it this morning and it's not that difficult. What they've done is the New York Times, it's hard when you're watching the TV show. The New York Times have done a version of it and it's quite easy, but it's a total lift from the TV show. So Victoria Coren Mitchell has been on Twitter saying, do you know this has been a TV show in the UK since 2008? It's so similar, I guess you must do. And one of the question setters said, if you need a hand at all, I've written over 750 of these for Only Connect. So they're getting a little bit sniffy about it. But having seen the TV show and then watched what they've done in the New York Times, it's a complete lift. So that there will be, I have no doubt, repercussions for that. And last one, I know I'll leave the last one because I want to get to my guest this morning who's standing by. Where is our guest? Is he in Connecticut this morning? But either way, he's in the UK. Great. James Comey, former director of the FBI, is live. He's written a crime procedural thriller. It's great fun. And that is out this week. So I want to talk to him about that and lots of other things. And we will do so live after this. Mm-hmm. This is a great story about the ex-mayor of New York, as we're in that zone, Bill de Blasio. And you know the way they go to the zoo and they take out the groundhog and they say, oh, it's going to be Groundhog Day, and they take this groundhog, looks like a demented otter. Anyway, he's got this happened some years ago. He's been reflecting on it. It became a famous clip in 2014, and about 9 years ago, and he got to the zoo in Manhattan, and or Staten Island, I should say, and he wasn't a morning person, so his brain wasn't working at full tilt. But they handed him this thing and said, okay, put these gloves on. Here's the groundhog. And he's been reflecting on it. And he said, there's always a hand of this. I'm like, don't make me hold that groundhog. And they said, no, you have to. But he was holding the groundhog and it started to wriggle around. And the thing fell on the ground. Now, the mayor, not unlike our previous guest this morning, is 6 foot five. So he's a tall man. And he was addressing a bunch of school children. And he dropped the groundhog on the ground. And they kind of rushed it away, and it died from acute internal injuries. Like, I mean, this is between Bambi and Bright Eyes and Watership Down, and now this story. But it just happened. And a mother who attended the ceremony with her 14-year-old daughter said, look how tall the mayor is. Can you imagine falling from that height? So that added to it, the vertiginous sense of misadventure. And the zoo officials then tried to cover it up, and they kept the administration in the dark, just told a few supporters about the groundhog dying, claiming that it died of natural causes. And then they catfished, to use the keep the animal thing going, they catfished the public. The animal in question that was meant to be used, Chuck, the male, was alive and well, and was quickly replaced by his lady friend, Charlotte, who was the one who died from the drop. And here's the kick. The zookeepers had benched, as they say in America, Chuck, and replaced him with Charlotte for the Groundhog Day ceremony because the nippy male rodent had bitten de Blasio's predecessor, Michael Bloomberg, during the photo op event in 2009. They end by saying Staten Island Zoo have since ended the tradition. Naturally.
Ladies up in here tonight. No fighting.
We got the refugees.
No fighting. No fighting. Shakira,
Lips Don't Lie, Cork Concert Orchestra. Thanks, Eamon. They're hosting a night of the movies on Saturday night in Cork City Hall. That sounds like fun, too. Music from Gone with the Wind, Out of Africa, Psycho, Star Wars, and John Williams, of course, Raiders of the Lost Ark. All on. It's all happening. Limited number of tickets still available, €20 on Eventbrite. Oh my God, yeah. I saw Bambi for the first time and last time at a birthday party. It went downhill after that. We saw the video, the tears after a lovely party for an 8-year-old. I'll never forget. I'm 43 now and I've not seen it since. Scarred for life, I'm telling you. Actually, might as well for the finish. I dined on groundhog in Mongolia, says Tom, cooked in yak milk vodka to lessen the chance of contracting the bubonic plague. Well, that just in from 1246. Thanks for that, Tom. Who knew that we have 13th century listeners telling us about their dining habits? But there you go. It's like quantum leap. Did you know that the soundtracks for those cartoons were recorded live without any breaks or splicing? Well, even the ones with the whirs and teeth breaking like China and everything. Saw a film of a session on a music module I did. Most amazing musicianship ever. Well, that is intriguing. Okay, that's where we say goodbye today. We will be back, obviously, tomorrow between 9 and 10. Look forward to your company then. Stay tuned for Claire Byrne. Have a wonderful day and thank you for listening.
The Ryan Tuberty Show. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player.